is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. Of course, in modern times, the rare coins are, you know, they have their own personality. They're very internet-oriented. They're hotter than hotcakes have ever been. Precious metals are on fire like they've never been. Supply, you talk about supply chain. It's interesting to me to explain that people are like, why is the metal this? Why is the metal that? Why is it down here? Why is it down that? Good question. All the time. People, there's this old misnomer. Hey, if the stock market goes down, why do metals not go up? You have to understand money, okay? And there's, I don't want to spend much time on it, but the way it works is the vast majority of the world is forced into 401k and IRA investments as employers. You know, people are like, you give someone a job, do you got a 401k? Do you even know what that means? So here's what it is. It's a pre-tax investment contribution. But it's your money. It used to be in the 90s when I was a banker that even early 90s, they had some real fireball programs. I had employers when I was with Norwest Bank Corp that, I mean, they threw in, we had a TAPS program, thrift and profit sharing. They threw money at you. It was a major incentive. They had a 7-year vesting period and a very juicy investment product. And then even the 401ks, you could give your initial up to 6% of your gross income, and they were matching up to 2.5 times. So if I put in 6%, they'd put in 15. Now the average employer is putting 1.5% to your 6. So here's what that means. If you're making 60 grand a year, you can contribute up to $3,600 a year pre-tax. The average means they're matching at 1.5% of your gross. That means they're giving you $900 a year. $900 a year out of your employer's pocket. Is that a good deal? When you look at the overall scheme, our employees, we have a lot better programs than that. And they are sub-tax, we'll just say. The problem with a 401k and an IRA is IRA means independent retirement account. The 401k is under the IRA umbrella, or vice versa, depending on which direction you look at it from. You put that money in, and whatever income tax bracket you're in at the time is what you save. As you accumulate larger portions of currency or of savings, whatever you want to call it, if it grows, if you're lucky, which it never seems to, but let's say it does. As you grow and the value grows because of your continued contributions, as well as hypothetical, you know, appreciation based on investment performance, number one, before you're 59 and a half years old, if you ever want to access any part of that, you have a 10% penalty over and above your regular taxation rate. The taxation rate is based on the time that you pull it out. Taxes are progressive, whether you like it or not. You had the Bush tax limits. Obama jacked them way up. Trump brought them back down, but he never got them down to the Bush level. And I could go back in time to the Reagan era, and it's gone that way ever since. Biden has another 2.5 years or 2 years or however you want to count the clock. He's going to get, that's the next thing that's coming. Your tax structure is going to go through the moon. A lot of people don't understand all that. You're going to pay taxes on it inevitably. The argument, well, whatever, the excuse for pre-tax contribution is it gives you more money to grow. But in the long run, you're going to pay way more tax. People tend to withdraw large portions, a lot more substantial than living on it at the end of their lives or their retirement era, in which case you get into an accelerated higher level tax bracket. And you're going to, they make a mint on it. They know where your money is. They use your money. They're using your money to prop up the stock market, okay? And with that said, I can go more in depth, but I don't want to today. They're inflating our stock market with this kind of money. People also got substantial, unbelievable amounts of money through this COVID payout stuff. As I've done my research and I'm like, where's all this cash coming from? Our government transferred money to the larger C corporations. With the COVID corporate bailout or whatever you want to call it, companies got massive, massive amounts of money. It was, you know, the mathematical algorithm is mind-boggling. I know of, moderate-sized companies that, say, have 40-some employees that through round one and round two got like $1.6 million. You think about that. It doesn't even make sense. If you have 46 employees, you know, even if they're making, you know, $50,000 a year, they're spending whatever it is, $2.3 million a year, say $3 million a year. If they're paying top dollar, which they aren't, say 65, doesn't matter. You get my point? 65,000, say 2.75 million a year, and they're getting $1.65 million. What do they do with that money? Park it. Where does it go? Investments. And the average American relies on their broker. So they give the money to their broker. Where's their broker put it? If you have a stock broker, SEC regulated, it goes into the stock exchange somewhere at some point, maybe mutual funds, whatever. I'll take a quick sidestep briefly. Please, please, please avoid annuities, avoid annuities, avoid annuities, and then avoid annuities. There was a day back in the era when annuities were, there was a solid form of an annuity. Back in the 80s when I was kind of learning about money, the annuities, there was a fair amount of solid ones. They came up with universal life and whole life and progressive life and thrift life. And they give it all these names. And then they remove the name of life. And then they call it this investment and that investment. And they say, well, it's going to build up and you're going to have this accumulating escrow and blah, blah, blah. If your, quote, financial advisor, unquote, is an insurance-licensed individual, you're paying too much and getting your money back is a bear, and it gets worse from there. You can choose to trust me or not trust me. I have a pretty strong background in all the mathematical numerics of it all. I have a heavy-duty mathematical background, economics, educational background, banking. I was a regional manager for Bank of America before I started Coins Plus. I've been Series 6 and 7 and 24. I've always said I've been Series 6 and 7 licensed, and I looked it up the other day. I had something called a Series 24 license, too. I don't remember what that was. Apparently it mattered. But I've been insurance licensed on the equivalent of every state in the United States because I was an actuarial training program, which it takes a long time to become what they call a fellow in the actuarial society. But so I just, you know, math, science, insurance, money, it's just where God's brought me. If that's not enough to take my advice, do whatever you want. But I would just advise, it's so hard because it's so confusing. They have these insurance-based investments. They don't even have to give disclosures to you of any sort. They're not regulated by the SEC. If I had nothing but time on my hands, I'd lobby to get that corrected, but I don't have the life to do it. And somebody needs a vested interest in doing so. If they did happen to attempt it, you're going up against some monstrosities. You know, insurance companies have enormous amounts of power, lobby, and money. America has come to a point where lobbying, money, power, that's the whole game. It's a huge chess game, which is why we have these corrupt and crooked politicians. When we look at, like, Donald J. Trump, who, you know, everyone vilified. The guy was very simple-minded. He was divinely appointed for his time. Whether he'll come back or not, I don't know. He's got his new Truth Social or whatever it's called. And he's got, what's his name? Damon something Nunez. I can't remember his first name. But he basically is the CEO. He's the guy that broke to Trump early on that they were going after him on all this Russia collusion stuff. And apparently, you know, Trump really respects loyalty. And I think Trump also got exposed to some pretty high levels of talent when he was in the political arena. Trump's a businessman. He understands that stuff. He just, I really believe, I don't believe, it's pretty obvious. He never got caught up in the corruption. They ran after him with every fathomable mess you can come at someone with to just pepper him and keep you, the consumer, the constituency, and him as confused as possible. I think round two, had he gotten a second round, he would have got effective against the Fed and whatnot. He spent a lot of money, but in a way he did it in a corrective manner. He was bringing all this money home, all these expenditures that Obama had been sending overseas. Biden, these politicians, they're just sheer foolishness. They're spitting money all over the world, just buying friends with your money. I'm in a business where people stand at the counter, my employees, and they buy stuff all day long. And I always tell employees, it's the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. People want our money when they bring stuff in, and if they're spending money, they want to work us and get the best deal. We already guarantee the best deal, so we don't play that game. And we have the largest following in the area, actually probably one of the largest retail followings in the United States now. Maybe not as far as online presence, because we've got about zero for that, which is another thing that I've got employees. I've got some ramp-ups going, and we're intending to get there. But you can only, in corporate America, baby steps. But what they did, speaking of corporate America, is they transferred all this wealth to corporations. And what corporations did is they put it into M1 Holdings, which is basically stock accounts, savings accounts, bank accounts, checking accounts. And that M1 Holdings, which still just doesn't make sense to me mathematically, went from $4.5 trillion before COVID to $20.1 trillion by the, quote, end of COVID, if there is such a thing. The deficit's only $31 trillion. So, folks, simplistic as this, there's a lot more money that's been created than is showing on our deficit. A lot more. And the problem is people have all this money and it's been used to prop up the stock market. There's no more coming out right now. They're going to look for more reasons. It's hyperinflationary. They're buying people up. You think that's cool. They're pumping all this money out. People are sitting there going, oh, free check, free check, free check. They don't understand the volumetric nature of it, which is essentially creating such a hyper level of inflation that it is destroying the very people who think they're consuming this money freely. What do you think? You know, I've always discussed the consumer price index, okay? That is the index that's supposed to tell us what our inflation rate is at. Back in the 90s under Clinton, they removed, the word Clinton brings up a lot of ideas and thoughts I could go off on, but they removed the majority sectors. There's little pieces left, don't get me wrong, but the majority of the sectors, food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs. That is what you, the average American, spends 85% of your disposable income on. They're not reflecting this in the consumer price index. Index means, it's supposed to be a holistic example. It's supposed to be a representation of a market, like the Dow Jones Industrial Average is an index. The S&P 500 is an index. It's supposed to show you what's going on. So to know true inflation, how can they remove 85% of what you spend your money on to live your life? I'm going to go with it don't work. And it's not an accident. And as I've mentioned, I had the fortune of a roommate who was a professor who was on the Consumer Price Index Board who resigned under ethical concerns when that took place. And I, at the time, like I said, I didn't fully understand it. I certainly do now. So as those are the areas that are really ramping up. Food. I've heard as much as a 200% increase, not just on individual items, but across the board on staple goods. And by the way, there's a food shortage coming, and I'm going to talk about that briefly. Transportation. Have you noticed, if you know or not know, you can't find a vehicle. I was talking to a doctor friend of mine yesterday, and she had gotten her vehicle totaled. She had like a Hyundai Sorento or something. It was like a 2020, nice car, 14,000 miles. And, you know, sticker when she bought it was like $38,000. So when the insurance comes in, and you got to be on your toes too. Insurance comes in and pays her what she thought was a real ripe price to replace it. It doesn't even touch what she needs to replace it, number one. Number two, she can't find another one. She said these vehicles that were $38,000 in 2020 are trading used at $48,000 today. That's called transportation, okay? The normal depreciation on a vehicle like that should be a minimum of 30 to 35, probably a third in the first 2 years, I'd say, conservatively. Which means what? Her $38,000 vehicle should be $26,000, but now it's $48,000. Well, you know, there's an 80% increase. So there's your transportation, and then there's more. You know, you can talk about air flights and gas, but that's an energy cost. But you got food, transportation, real estate is just, everyone knows, that went off the charts. $250,000 homes are $700,000. The average home price in Spokane went from like $246,000 4 years ago to almost $800,000, $783,000 now. There's your real estate. That's your cost of living, your cost of shelter. And then, of course, energy costs. And that's a double-edged sword. You've got gasoline. I've mentioned that. You know, I don't care if it's propane, if it's diesel. But then we got the electrical issue. Biden comes in, shoves everyone. He's forcing auto manufacturers, and I'm into cars a lot, and he's forcing them to have 50% of the energy source of vehicles be electric by 2023. So what's that going to do to the electrical grid, folks? Among the fact that they're forcing people to go electric this, electric that, everything's got to be electric. I can tell you one thing. The business, instead of gold and silver that I should have got into years back, was batteries. There's a lot of need for batteries out there, and that's going to be another one. And now they're saying the supply chain, get ready for that. Batteries are going to become an issue soon because they need this. And now, oh, but not lithium ion batteries. You can't travel with those. They're explosive. They burn up. I just saw where 48,000 Ford SUVs caught on fire. So they're all being recalled. 48,000 of them have caught on fire. That, my friends, is a problem. That reminds me of the Ford Pinto issue that was killing people. By the time there's 48,000 burning up and they do a recall, you think maybe they could have stopped that before it hit 48,000. It's because they're forcing all this electric vehicle stuff, all these hybrids and stuff on everybody, and they're not ready. You have to let free market reign. When they force everyone to go to a certain power source, which, by the way, is a terrible power source. I mean, if you get deeply hypothetical, you know, there's hydrogen, there's even oxygen, there's all kinds of incredible power sources that free market capitalism would have walked us down. I always wonder, when God put us on this earth, and he knew what we're capable of, and he gave us this absolute magnificent plethora of energy sources, endless, that we don't even know yet, right? And if he did, he know we'd go down this road? I mean, that's a dumb question, obviously. But the point is that where he wanted us to go? Petroleum's okay, folks. The earth regenerates it. The zero oil or petroleum concept is a scam. It's all a scam. Why would they want to push us to electric? Control, 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 control. This is where we're going. If you go back to those four categories that Clinton removed from the Consumer Price Index, those are four very good categories of control. Food. Food shortages are coming. It's hitting the rest of the world, the quote-unquote supply chain. They slaughtered, as Dr. Bill Jasper, I don't know that he's a doctor, but he should be, that was on my show the last Monday, Wednesday. We went and listened to him last night in Coeur d'Alene, which he's incredible. But there's never enough time. I mean, it's Encyclopedia Jasper. But he mentioned the slaughtering of over 10 million animals. He says that the theory is because they couldn't transport them because of COVID, or they didn't have an appropriate number of employees. Therefore, they had to destroy the animals because they couldn't get the feed or whatever. I think that's a portion of the theory. But another significant portion of the theory that I discussed when I was with Bill Jasper, is the fact that they're reimbursing these plants, like the chicken farm in Montana that had 2 or 3 million chickens destroyed. Can you imagine that? Killing 2 or 3 million chickens? I mean, what kind of karma does that leave you? It's life. It's God's creation. And those animals are not treated well from the get-go. And we've gone away from the communal concept that God, I think, desired to these massive metropolitan corporate controlling organizations. But killing all that, why? Because they get the same price or more from our government as they would selling it. However, they don't have to go through any of the processing. None of it. They just have to document how many animals they killed. Isn't that lovely? That's our government. What does the devil do? He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. They're stealing your wealth. They're stealing your liberty in multiple ways. Freedom of speech. Right to bear arms, which is a hub component of the others. The kill I just discussed, not mentioning the COVID stuff, the lies and the deception there, and to destroy. They, you know, I won't even get into that. I mean, we've got so many facets of our government that does nothing but destroy. A decade ago, I discussed the fact that Google was the highest per employee corporate payer, salary income wise, in the world at about $66,000 a year. That's a lot average. And our government at the time was $804,000 per employee. Think of the waste, okay? So when I go back, you got your food. They're going to short it. It's coming. You better prepare. Transportation, obviously, you got a supply chain issue. I'm very fortunate because I have a lot of vehicles. And it's crazy. I've got a lot of cool vehicles, and then they've gone up and up and up and up and up. I mean, it's dumb. I've got vehicles that are worth 50% more than I paid new. And I'm not talking one or two. I'm talking a few of them. I mean, it's okay. Fair enough. I got lucky there. Real estate, I've got a little bit of that. It's been okay. I got a lot of gold and silver. And then energy costs, I don't have a lot of that. But, you know, I'm working hard. You need to get backup generators ready to go on your house. You're going to need them. You can have a small plug-in Honda generator, whatever it takes, to just be able to cook and have lights and get a little bit of heat. Because they, can you imagine the takedown? Not to mention an EMP. Electromagnetic pulse bomb They're working on those six ways to Sunday, folks. That's coming. I mean, I sound like a cuckoo bird, but can you imagine when that hits? Do you know that you don't even know it hit? Well, how can you not know it hit, Kevin? Because you can't communicate. It destroys all forms of communication. It destroys the transportation ability of any vehicle built after 1967 that has electrical anything. You can't go anywhere. You don't know what's going on. You're not getting news. You're not getting information. You don't even know what happened. People can't turn on the lights to make food. I'm telling you, it can get so ugly so fast. We have the wrong people in power. They're the right people in their minds. You got the Klaus Schwabs of the world that are, you know, they want to take it over. Dr. Evil. And I mean, literally, this isn't conspiratorial. This is absolute documented fact. COVID did not create these issues. It only accelerated what they already had in mind. Then we get into the CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency System. Bar the door. Well, let me back up. I said, why are the metals not roaring? And I mentioned that there's so much money in these index markets, but there's not enough new coming in. They surged it. I mean, they stole, you know, we've got irrefutable, and I mean 192% irrefutable evidence the election was stolen. 2,000 meals is one example. True the vote is another, and there's more. Today I'm reading, check this out. Tell me if this sounds good to you. So the 2020 census numbers are coming out. Even the flaming lefty, communist, socialistic liberals are admitting miscounts in 15 states. Population miscounts. Why does population counts matter? Because of delegation and representation. Equal representation under the law. If a state has 1 million people and a state has 100 million, the state with 100 million has more delegates than the state with 1 million, proportional to the, you know, the per capita population of the state. So check this out. Documented, not this isn't conjecture. 15 state miscounts. Miscounts in 15 states. 8 of the 15 were overcounted. Meaning they... How do you overcount population? How do you count too many people? Just like overcounting votes, right? 8 of the states were overcounted, and guess what they were? All of them, in order, number 1 through 8, the blue swing states. What's blue? Democrat. Democratic states were overcounted, 8 of them, 8 of the big boys. And the 7, imagine this, they were undercounted, were what they call red line states. Red line states. Why would they call them red line? Because they're primarily Republican, but it's tight. So they undercount the delegate. The population, which relates to delegation in those states, relating to representation, so those Republican states just don't get enough representation. Folks, they are throwing a wrench in the spokes at every angle. I honestly believe there's so much going on. They're throwing things so powerfully from so many angles. I sincerely believe we could lose this battle for our nation. They're throwing the Constitution out. They're attacking the Supreme Court. They're breaking, you know, the rule, whatever it is, 18.27, whatever. I don't even know. But the point is, you can't protest and threaten Supreme Court justices. And yet Schumer starts it. Back under Obama saying, Neil Gorsuch, you've unleashed the wind of hell, and you have no idea what's going to happen to you, and we're going to hit you so hard. You know, this radical left-wing New Jersey, whatever he is, East Coast flake, scumbag, stands there, and Obama and Eric Holder did it on the, what do you call it, the Obamacare. Yeah, he cares. Oh, he cares. They did it on the Obamacare bill, and they came to the podium, and they threatened, and then that Justice Kennedy caved. And now we have a leak about the abortion bill that comes out right after there was a 9-0 vote in the Supreme Court to support flying of the Christian flag in a state capital. I can't remember the state. That stuff doesn't get any coverage, but you can fly the rainbow flag. You know, here's what goes through my mind. If burning the American flag is an expression of freedom of speech, and no one does anything, what happens if you burn a rainbow flag? Is that an expression of freedom of speech? No, you're devastated. They're coming after you, right? I mean, the hypocrisy is just undeniable. You can't get away from this. And I know there's people that are like, oh, you know, I watched this thing and there's... Okay, I agree. There's a lot of good things going on. You know, God is alive and well. God is at work. I'm not going to deny that. But we are accountable for our treatment, if you will, of the vineyard. You know, God speaks in his word. Some people freak out when I say God speaks. They're like, that wasn't God. That was Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Okay, whatever. Inspired scripture, call it what you want. God spoke, and he said that he gave Christ parables. And if you don't believe that Christ is God, then you might as well hang up the towel, because anything to do with Christianity is futile and you shouldn't be here anyway. I would say you're in or you're out on that side. There's no, I would say there's no middle ground, if you will, on that whole concept. You know, we've got parables of, he made it very clear of the vineyard owner, the master, and servant. And he, I, you know, it's pretty obvious what he's getting at. You got the parable of the wicked husbandman, and you've got the parable of the master and the servant in Luke 17. And he tells us straight up what, you know, I think is clearly us occupying this earth. He says, let's see here, Luke 17. He says, I think this is it. He told the disciples the days will come when you'll, I'm probably going to mess. I probably picked the wrong scripture. I do that all the time. And people know, I walk up, sit down and do the show. I apologize. I don't have time for prep. I work 18 hours a day on a good week. And it says, they'll say, look here, look there, don't go away and run after them. For just as the lightning flashes from the east to the west, blah, blah, blah. And he talks about you'll be eating and drinking as in the days of Noah. I mean, the days of Noah, you read the book of Jasher. We don't have access to that. There is an example in sacred-texts.com that's supposed to have every text known to man. A lot was destroyed in the Library of Alexandria. But in the book of Jasher, there is an extensive, extensive breakdown of what took place during the flood of Noah. And I find it very intriguing. I think it's based on something legitimate. But of course, it was canonized out. And they talk about in the days of Lot, they were eating, they were drinking, and they were buying, they were selling. It was immoral and corrupt in Sodom and Gomorrah. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It'll be just the same on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, one who is, you know, and he does the housetops and whose goods are in the house, don't go down and take them. He's like, get out of there now. And then he goes, remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken, the other will be left, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's saying, don't look back. Don't get hung up on your stuff. Just look at Christ. He is the answer. He's the deal, right? I mean, you've got, we're living in some of the most radical times imaginable, folks. I mean, you've got the Dow Jones Industrial Average crashing and booming and banging and going down. And we've got, you know, we've had the Dow hit almost, what, 38,000? We've been down to 31,000. It's 20% drop. And that's with money being pumped in the system like crazy. Why do I talk about money? That's what I do. There's a lot more going on, but money is where God, I believe, put me. And it's where I'm designed to help you out. I appreciate your loyalty. I appreciate your, you know, commitment to us as a business, to individuals, etc. And in Luke, again, it says, which of you having a slave plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he's come in from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat, but will not say to him, prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself and serve me, for while I eat and drink, and afterward may I eat and you may eat and drink. He does not thank the slave because he did the things which he was commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded to you, say, we're unworthy slaves. We have done only that which ought to be have done. That sounds a little bit harsh, but God's saying, look, this isn't a democracy. This is the way it works when you're a parent. You want bad parenting? Make it a democracy. I mean, there's times you got to teach your kids to make decisions. It's the same with Jesus. We're not in a democracy. If you are a follower of Christ, you have to obey Christ. You got to do what he tells you to do. And he's telling you what's going on, what's coming next. He's telling you to wake up, pay attention. You know, he's got all kinds of the labors in the field and the 10 minas and the great banquet and parable of talents. The vineyard workers, you know, there's a lot of these things. This is us, folks. This is us. We are called to be good stewards on this earth. You go, you know, further here. That last one wasn't the best, but let's try Luke 20 and see if that works out. These are just coming to mind. Let's see. Parable of the vine growers, and he began to tell the people his parable. A man planted a vineyard. Get this, okay? This is God. A man planted a vineyard, the earth, amazing, and rented it out to vine growers. What in the world does rented it out mean? That's a concept. Let me look that up here. It's bugging me. A vineyard, and he rented it. Rented in the Greek is to give out one's house, power, hand, to give up, to give over, to put trust in, to rely on, to let out for hire, to let out for one's advantage. That's the key. God gave us this for his advantage. He made the most incredible, incredible opportunity for us, right? So it says he began, so he rented it out to the vine growers, and he went on a journey for a long time. Did Jesus leave for a long time? Did God leave for a long time? Has he let us kind of run our own course? By our standards, it's a really long time. And then it says, at the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers so that they would give him some of the produce of the vineyard, but the vine growers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Who would that be? Who might there have been that was a slave? Okay, Jesus was a slave. Why was Jesus a slave? Because he sacrificed his divine nature, his divine position, his kingship to become one of us, a broken human being. And what'd they do? Sent him away first, empty-handed. Then it says, and he proceeded, this is your vineyard owner, that's the big Lord on top, to send a third. And this one also they wounded and cast out. Now, you could go through prophets and parables. I can't do that right now for you. I'm not prepared, okay? Prophets, etc. Beat them up, knocked them out, killed them, whatever. And you see this on a subcultural level, too, with Galileo and Copernicus and whatnot. So the third gets wounded and cast out. The owner of the vineyard, guess who? God, said, what shall I do? I'm going to send my beloved son, perhaps they will respect him. You know what that tells us? Even though Jesus sacrificed his life for us, God thought maybe, because we have free will. Do you realize another really odd parallel is Jesus was killed by the Romans for the Jews. Do you know, because he called himself a king? And the Roman government was afraid of the religious government. Do you know, I believe, that if the Israelite Jews had embraced Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he would have still been killed, crucified by the Romans because he would have been a threat for his professed kingship. Okay? Either way, the Romans were going to crucify him. The time had come. The world was in such a disarray or array, whichever you choose, perspective. God allowed things to get to a certain point in a certain place in a certain time on earth. Either way, the Romans would have been in control. They were harsh, they were brutal, and they were controlling, and they were very dictatorial. They would have killed Jesus. The only thing is, they would have then killed all the Jews. And what would we have? We would have a group of Jews who had accepted their Messiah, and the Gentiles would have what? I don't fully comprehend all that, but it is worth the thought. And then they said, so he said they'd respect him. The vine growers saw him. They reasoned with one another, saying, this is the heir. Let us kill him so the inheritance will be ours. Is that interesting? You know, a lot of these Jews saw Jesus perform incredible miracles and said, kill him. Well, what's that thought process, right? That's our flesh. That's the devil. So it says, so they threw him out of the vineyard. In other words, you don't belong here, Jesus. And they killed him. What then, it says, will the owner of the vineyard do to them? Well, we already know those who killed him, you know, Judas sold him out. That his demise wasn't real beautiful. He will come and destroy these vine growers. Vine growers. What's a vine grower? It's a person who works in the field, owns a business, works to make money, to live upon this earth. It says he'll destroy these vine growers and he'll give the vineyard to someone else, to others. That is amazing. It says when they heard it, they said, may it never be. Folks, let me tell you something what that is. When it says he will come and destroy, that's God. He's going to destroy the vine growers. We're the workers of the earth. And will give the vineyard to others. Who was the vineyard supposed to be given to? The Jews. So who did he give them to? The Gentiles. That's us. We're blessed by the grace of God because of their mistake. Now, I don't buy into this covenant theology stuff personally. That, well, you know, you rejected the Messiah and I'm a Gentile and I'm somehow superior to you because I'm so intelligent. I've met a lot of you. I don't think you're as smart as you think you are, neither do I. I think I'm as smart as I probably think I am. God's good. God's good. Realize that. It's not our, you know, we don't need to get pompostic, if that's a word. That's pomposity-ick. I don't think we need to be doing that. But we're blessed. We need to be appreciative that God spread his grace upon all of our heads and gave us all the opportunity to be free, true liberty. Liberty comes from God. He who I say free, let, you know, he's free indeed, Jesus said. To him I make free. The liberty of this world, the liberty of this country, the liberty that you still have a little bit of fragrance of is because of Jesus Christ in this nation. Social media is plugging into the heads and minds of so many people that you can't get them away. You can't draw them apart. They don't even know where the line is. Your liberty is in jeopardy right now. I need 3 hours to cover all this. And then it says, but Jesus looked at them and said, what then is this that is written? He said, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but on whom it falls, it will scatter him like dust. Chief cornerstone, which is the top, the pinnacle, the peak. It is the peak of the Great Pyramid of Giza. In my opinion, Jesus went to Egypt at 5, fulfilled a bunch of prophecy. I do not want to go there right now. I want to use the time I have to just keep the ball rolling. I think it's important to understand this central banking currency system, CBDC, central bank digital currency. You are now, the World Health Organization has passed a series of laws, rules, regulations, whatever you want to call them, for the next pandemic, the next terrible event to come along. They have no authority, but these radical left-wing Frankfurt School socialists that are now ruling our world are sold into this. They believe in it wholly. They're ready to rumble. They're ready to hand over all their rights, all their liberties to what? The World Health Organization. You know what, folks? Anyone who doesn't believe in the liberties and freedoms of the United States needs to get out, go away, and have no part in our lives. And we can go down the list. You know, I've said the 2,000 mules thing with Dinesh D'Souza, all of the lies and deceptions to steal the election, which we know now goes back into the 1990s at least. They've been doing this for a long time. This is why they were so excited about all of the digitalizing of this and that and the mail-in ballots. Mail-in ballots? We used to have to show up to vote. Mail-in ballots are a mess. I've talked to so many people that have gotten so many mail-in ballots that showed up at their house, it's not even funny. Well, those good people throw them out. Bad people don't. There was even a deal where they were selling them for 50 cents a piece in some of these more metropolitan areas. I mean, we're basically the most wonderful, beautiful country in the history of the world is being stolen systematically and methodically right out from underneath us. Corruption is deep as deep. Politicians are corrupt. Our system's designed. There's a reason they use the word representation. They're supposed to represent you. Do politicians represent you? The good ones, the bad ones definitely don't. The good ones probably don't because they're too busy fighting all the time. I know some great federal level politicians. It's a brutal battle. They can't fight for you. They're up there fighting for themselves to save their own lives, to save their own reputation, to try to just jockey for a position. It is a dirt fest. It is an absolute mess. Now, this is nothing new, but I'm running short on time. All I'm going to tell you, there's so much that's happened between lockdowns, hyperinflation. And folks, Ukraine. And again, I say Ukraine. I think that's in the Bible. Maybe not. It's all distraction. Now we've got fight over abortion. Intimidate the Supreme Court justices. You know what's going to happen? You watch. The leak about Roe v. Wade was true. By the time the final ruling comes out, will it still be? Now they're worried about Supreme Court justices losing their lives. Is this good? We're being taken over. I remember 10, 15 years ago watching Venezuela going, thank God our country's not like that. We have been taken over by radicals, illegal immigrants, non-American-minded individuals. You know what makes America fly? James Madison says, in order for this system to function properly, this is my paraphrase, requires a religious and moral people. James Madison meant specifically Christian-based mentality, period. No Christianity, no America. It doesn't run itself. If it's a government for the people, by the people, and of the people, you have to have a specific set of rules. Christianity respects autonomy and individuality. It doesn't impose Sharia law, you know, or consider atheism a form of religion that needs to be protected above religion, or, you know, you get the picture, right? We've got supply chain shortages, food shortages coming, global food security. You've got these great big organizations globally. We're being run by a government that has literally stolen our election, and on and on and on I can go. Simplistic as this. To the money zone I go, okay? I run and own and operate, and I'm the president of Coins Plus. Been in business since 1996. We're probably the largest rare coin and precious metals dealer in the Northwest. We have the nicest facility in the United States. We offer the highest rated privately held depository in the United States. We guarantee the best pricing in the United States of any legitimate. I always say you can't compare us to your supposed Uncle Jed who's in the bayou. But, I mean, anyone legitimate, we're there. You need to protect your finances now, now, and then now. Please do so immediately. I mean that sincerely. When you ask, don't ask yourself why market prices are what they are. You know the truth. You know what's right. You know what's true. You do what is right fiscally, intellectually, and biblically, period. Listen, precious metals may disappoint at times, but they will never fail. If they fail, God fails. God's word fails. God's word guarantees them. You have an endorsement from a guy who's even richer than Warren Buffett. His name's God, the Yahweh, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Remember that. They may disappoint, but you don't get into any investment out of greed and hope to, no get-rich-quick schemes, get that out. Oh, Kevin, I don't want get-rich schemes. I just want to make 14% a year, 10%, 12%, whatever. Forget it. Preserve your capital in hard, God endorsed, ordained, and authorized assets, period. There's a coming famine. There's a lot going on. If you've been dragging it, we've got metal. No one else does, folks. No one else does. The U.S. is drained up. We're lucky. God blessed, has blessed us so far. Don't drag your tail. Don't sit around and go, oh, I'm going to do this and that. Just give us a shot. 509-444-0044. We'll take good care of you. We're buried. It may take some time. Best thing is send the money in. We'll get you locked and loaded. Trying to get us to set stuff aside and all that, it just doesn't. It's you're on the bottom of our priority list. It's just the way it is. Sorry. But we are always straight up and honest and upfront, and that's who we are. And if you're good with that, I'm good with you. Take care. God bless. Have a beautiful weekend. Love you. Bye-bye.